As hopefully you've noticed, we've been emphasising the scriptures in the ministries and song for this month. And I had that particularly on my heart as in the lead up to our study of Genesis, that we have confidence in the Word of God. The book of Genesis has been under tremendous siege by the devil and rationalism and scepticism. And so good to have our faith reaffirmed in the truths concerning the Word of God. Obviously from the Bible itself, but also in song as well. Okay, just a reminder of our format for this evening. We're trying to get started a little bit earlier so that essentially we can fit in two sessions. And what we're going to be spending most of our time on is analysing pieces of music in the hopes that it'll help establish a bit of a framework in your heart and mind for making wise choices in the area of music. I'm very thankful that I was raised in a godly Christian home. With a father who was not only a pastor but also a musician who taught us these things. And so as I've thought about it, in many ways I have a framework just in my mind when I hear a piece of music that kicks into gear. And so don't be concerned if you're not able to absorb everything tonight, but hopefully it might kickstart you in learning to listen to things discerningly. Okay, there's a lot of music out there today, millions and millions of songs. iTunes has 60 million songs for download. It's just mind-blowing today, the amount of music that is out there. And there's a lot of bad music. There's also a lot of good music, but we've got to know where to look for it and also how to discern it as well. And so that's the heart behind tonight's message. You should have before you a sheet of paper. Has everyone got that? Anyone not have one? Who needs one? Okay, Sister Corinne over here, if you could give her three. All right, you'll need three. We're going to try and get through three pieces of music in this session. And straight after this, we'll go to a break with a quick bite to eat with a pie for those able to stay. If you do have to go, then that's okay, but I hope you'll stay. We'll then, Lord willing, analyse some further songs. Because what I've done is I've been quite deliberate in selecting different pieces of music to try and emphasise or highlight certain areas, okay, of concern. And I also have several good pieces of music in there as well, so we're not just listening to all the bad stuff tonight, okay? All right, so I want to just get you introduced to this sheet tonight, essentially. But let's just start by reading the verse on the screen, shall we? An important principle there on the count of three. One, two, three. Ephesians 5, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so that's what we're trying to do tonight, is not apply man's opinions, but take the principles of Scripture and prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, that applies not only in music, does it, but in other areas of our lives. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for your sustaining grace over this series, and Lord, for the testimonies that were shared too, Lord, throughout the series that encouraged our hearts of people who have had their musical tastes changed through salvation ultimately, Lord. And so we just thank you for that. We pray you would just give us wisdom tonight from the Spirit of God and the Word of God to be able to study these things and to have wisdom and discernment, Lord, as we study these pieces of music. Lord, we pray that we would see the wrong pieces of music for what they are, that we would not have fleshly appetites quickened towards them, but Lord, we might have a holy disdain for that which is offensive to thee, we pray. And so help us now, help our young people and old alike, Lord, to get a hold of these principles in this area, which is such a battleground today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so basically what we're wanting to do tonight is to seek to apply some of the principles we've been learning in our music choices, both in our personal lives and in the church. And so this session tonight will be more of a practical workshop to analyse a series of music samples and to seek to apply the scriptural principles we have learned. And to that end, we're going to use this music assessment sheet that I've given you with four scriptural tests to apply to music. So we're trying to tie them back. I felt it would be useful to give you a clear scripture so you can see this is not just opinion, but we're trying to base our philosophy of music back on clear scripture. So we're talking about applying some very scriptural tests to our music. We have the music test. Okay, so does it pass the test musically? We have the message test, meaning the lyrics. We want to analyse what kind of message is being communicated there. We have the glory test, and that's where we analyse the performance of the piece to see who is getting the glory, and then the separation test. Now, just let me give you, by way of introduction, some considerations with the use of this sheet. Number one, some of the questions are designed for the Christian musician. Okay, In fact, this sheet in its original form came from my dad's course on music, and so it has some questions built into really material that was relevant to his course, but I left some of those in there for the Christian musician, very important. But may I encourage you, if you don't have a background in music, don't be daunted by that. Okay, some people can sort of throw their hands up and it's all too confusing, because what you have, even if you don't have music training, you have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and you can make wise choices with God's help. That said, do be willing to learn from the Christian musician, just like you'd be willing to learn from the Christian scientist, okay? We're very blessed in this church to have a number of folks who have a good understanding of music and music theory, and they're on the right side of the music issue. Don't get counsel from someone who's a music artist who's pro-CCM, okay? But don't be afraid. If you're not sure, maybe, or you want to get some extra help, go to a Christian musician in the church and say, look, can I run this piece of music by you? What are your thoughts? Okay? It's not about depending on man's wisdom, but about having a teachable spirit and remembering that we have something called the church body, and God places different members in the body to help the whole. Okay? So, if you don't have a background in music and music theory, you can still make wise choices. I believe you can still get the big things and the central principles that you can learn to apply in your life. So don't be daunted by that if you don't understand a few things. All right. Also, second introductory point in relation to this sheet, do not worry if you can't answer all the questions, okay? I ran this by some of our orchestra players and others and got them to test it out with a piece of music over the last couple of days. Some of them came back and said, it took me 20 minutes, Pastor, to really think this through. And so tonight we're not going to have necessarily the time to really go into in that level of detail, but the whole idea is just to get you started, hopefully, with listening to music more discerningly. And even if you don't have a background in music, hopefully you can start to pick up things like the rock beat. That's something that you can very clearly identify and go, okay, I'm definitely not going to listen to that because of what I've learned. The rock beat is an autonomous element, comes out of voodooism and so on. And so when I hear that punching rhythm coming through right there, I can shelve that music. Okay? All right. So don't worry if you can't answer all the questions. Just fill it in as best you can. And I think you'll find that you should be able to answer enough questions to give you, hopefully by the end, a bit of a sense for the song's character. All right, so what we want to do essentially is we want to see, we've talked about this in the course, but we want to see music that is conveying a consistency of message. All right, remember I mentioned really when you're looking at music, you could summarise it by saying we want to look at the music, the message, and the man. Okay, and what we want to see is, as far as possible, is a consistency of message between the music, because remember the music itself communicates very powerfully, doesn't it? Okay, it's a language. If you have sad music, it makes you feel sad. Happy music makes you feel happy. It has an effect on you because it's a language. It communicates. Very powerful language. So we want to hear what kind of message is the music conveying. Is it a sensual message? Is it a dance kind of feel? Or is it a sacred sound? Is it distinct from the world? Then we want to consider the lyrics, the message, what is being projected through the lyrics as well. And then we want to consider the man. And hopefully in a good sacred piece of music, you've got some consistency between those three. You've got a godly composer or godly performer. You have godly lyrics that conform to the scriptures. And you have also a godly sound in the music that is distinct from the world. So you have that consistency of message. And essentially, that's what we're looking at tonight. We have the music test, the message test, and then the last two, the glory and separation test, essentially apply to the man. So the music, the message, and the man. Hopefully that'll help you to remember that. So another piece of advice, when analysing music, try and start with the very clear scriptural pillars and use them as your primary reference points for determining if a song is sacred or not. Okay, so be careful about judging music simply based on your own opinions rather than the clear guidelines of God's Word. So we want to take the clear guidelines of the Word of God, and the Bible does have something to say about it, amen, the clear guidelines of God's Word, and seek to apply them in a practical way. So the kind of questions we can ask in relation to things like melody, is the song built upon melody? We talked about that. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Melody is the tune and is to be the governing part of the music and the harmony and the rhythm supporting that. Now, I notice some of you tonight were tapping your foot during some of the hymns. That's fine. Why? Your body is reacting to the rhythm in the song, but that rhythm is actually inbuilt into the song itself, and it's in subjection to the melody. The rock beat does not flow naturally out of a godly melody. It's pushed into the music and emphasises the weak beats instead of the strong beats, which is what gives it that very sensual appeal. All right, so it's an autonomous element. So we need to think about that. Is it built around melody, or is it built more around rhythm, or have we got a confusing message going on there? All right, in relation to the harmony, does the harmony contour and beautify the principal melody of the song, or does it work autonomously? Does the harmony draw attention to itself and so detract from the beauty of the melody, and so on? In relation to rhythm, does the rhythm arise naturally out of the melody? So we've talked about that. Good melody has rhythm. In fact, it's called the Trinity of Music. You have melody, harmony, rhythm, reflecting the triune nature of God. Interesting, we can see that even in music, as in many other parts of God's creation, that three-in-one concept. Is the rhythm autonomous in its relationship to the rhythm of the melody? Is there a rock rhythm in the song, which is, with its repetitive, artificial stress on naturally weak beats? So a very common one is that da-da-da-da-da-da sound, okay? Does the rhythm draw attention to itself rather than the melody? Does the rhythm so dominate the song as to subdue the melody and the harmony? Here's a good question. If the worshippers were to put movement to the rhythm, what part of their bodies would they move, and would their actions tend to be vulgar or even obscene? Okay? You notice good music doesn't affect your body in a sensual way. All right? You might tap your foot a little bit, because there's rhythm in the hymns. Okay? If there's no rhythm, the song would be completely dead, okay? But it's a godly rhythm. It doesn't make you want to get up and woo-hoo, woo, like that, okay? Hopefully. If you feel inclined to do that, then maybe change your music, okay? All right, in relation to the musical trinity, is there good balance there between melody, harmony, rhythm? Does the music sound as one? 2 Chronicles 5:13. All right, then we can think about the lyrics. Does the music support the natural meter of the lyrics? Okay, does the music force the unnatural pronunciation of the lyrics? Okay, a good sacred song, you have hopefully good pronunciation of the lyrics. Some songs, by the way they're written, are more inclined to be that pop style where they're just belted out in a certain way. Are the lyrics true to the teachings of the Bible? That's important, isn't it? Do the lyrics give our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the reverence due his person? Okay, or is it bringing Christ down to the level of my boyfriend in the pub? Okay, it's very sad, but that's often where things are going today, singing to Christ as if he's my boyfriend, and he's not. He is a friend, but he's also the sinless Son of God and needs to have the high reverence deserving his person. Do the lyrics have good doctrinal content? Now, let me just add a little point to this. It doesn't mean that the lyrics have to be complicated. You can have a simple biblical message in song. That's not necessarily wrong. For God so loved the world. That's a simple message, isn't it? Okay? So it's not necessarily that the lyrics have to be necessarily complicated, but are they faithful to the scriptures? And is there good scriptural content there? Okay? It might even be a simple truth concerning the Lord's return that impacts the heart, but it's a truth nonetheless. A problem we see today with very often in the area of lyrics is that there is a trend away from doctrinal substance, isn't there? Okay? So again, we can have a simple message, but the overall trend, unfortunately, is going in the direction of very simplistic songs with not a whole lot of substance, kind of like fairy floss, okay? It sort of tastes all right and sweet, but it's really not much substance there at all. How many of you had fairy floss at the fair? You know, you put it and it tastes, but it just evaporates in your mouth, okay? A lot of Christian songs today like that, whereas you go back to the hymns, and as a general rule, they're fairly rich doctrinally. It makes you think, okay? The mind is engaged as a part of the singing there. Another question, are the lyrics so generic that the song could be sung to man rather than to God? All right, so are they so generic and so general that they would fit essentially in the unsaved world as well as in the world of the believers. As we think about the performance now, do the singers and musicians portray the spirit of worship or showmanship? Do the singers portray the attitude of adoring saints or carnal lovers? You say, what do we mean by that? Well, an adoring saint, meaning they have a spirit of adoration, genuine adoration to God. That spirit is conveyed in their singing. A carnal lover is more that sort of nightclubby feel, the breathiness, that unholy intimacy that we've talked about. Does the singer use breathiness to give the feeling of intimacy? Do they scoop? Is there scooping? Is there sliding? Do they employ a harsh or a throaty sound? Is the appearance of the music ministry befitting an audience for the King of Kings? is the dress code aesthetic, modest, gender distinctive and harmoniously adorned. There's just some general thoughts. Now let's look at the test itself there. Okay. At the top of the page, you'll write down the title of the song, then the name of the group, and your name assessed by. Okay, so it's exam time tonight. Yeah. All right, then we have the music test. Is the melody primary? Does the song emphasise melody? Quote, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. So under that, in relation to melody, is the song built on melody, harmony, rhythm? You might have a combination of two there. In relation to rhythm, what is the meter? Now, you may or may not be able to discern that without the written piece of music. It can be helpful because it can help you to determine where the beat's falling on. Okay, is it falling on, if it's a 4-4 timing, okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, is it falling on 2 and 4 of the weak beats, right? Yeah. All right, so if the beat's going chunk, chunk on 2 and 4, then you can tell, okay, the beat's falling on the wrong place there. So that can be useful. Again, don't stress if you can't identify that. Skip over it. Is there balance with melody and harmony? Okay, balanced, overpowering. Okay, our first clip will hopefully help you to see that one pretty clearly. Syncopation, is it natural or unnatural? If there is a rock beat, what pattern? Okay, you can hopefully identify as you listen to the drums, it dut, 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 that's fairly common, or dut, 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 or dut, dut, da, or something else. Like Stefan's thinking, what's Dad saying da-da for? But anyway. All right, in relation to harmony, does it beautify the melody or does it draw attention to itself? Is there unresolved dissonance? Again, that might be a little bit difficult for some to understand. I don't think a lot of tonight's clips will delve into that, but it's good to have that there. Dissonance and consonance is something in music. Dissonance is where you have tension, essentially where there's a bit of a clash between two notes. That should then move to consonance where there's almost like a sigh of relief and the tension resolves. So dissonance is not necessarily wrong in itself. It can be there, but it builds tension in the music and then it should resolve. You find in your jazz and blues music, there's a lot of those clashy notes that creates that jazz sound. It's autonomous. There's not resolve there. Can you detect any jazz or blues elements in the song? So there's some considerations with the music, particularly thinking about the rhythm. Again, you'll find that depending on the piece, what I've done is I've selected a number of pieces here, and some will particularly shine a light on one section of this test or another, or you might find with some that you fill out a fair bit. But don't worry too much if you can't fill out every single question, because not every single question will necessarily apply to every piece of music. Just try and answer as best you can. Then we have the message test. Do the lyrics communicate a clear biblical message? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, we're to worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. So do the lyrics, are the lyrics faithful to the word of God? How are the lyrics pronounced? Is it natural, unnatural or overpowered by the music? Because after all, Christian music is supposed to convey truth. It's supposed to be truth in song, isn't it? Are they synchronised with the melody? So are the lyrics in sync with the melody, or are they ahead of the beat or behind the beat? Again, musicians might be able to discern that. Scriptural content and substance. This is where anyone with or without music experience can think about these sorts of things. Is there strong scriptural content? Is it weak? Is it generic? Is it vague? Repetitive, okay, meaning, okay, it's not just that it's a simple song, but it's just a very simplistic song, maybe not much substance, and it's just pounded out again and again. That's a very common feature of modern songs. There's not a lot of doctrinal content in them. Average, so you might say it's average, okay, it's not really strong or weak, but it's average, or is it just totally unscriptural? We'll show one tonight, which I think has something completely unscriptural in it. I'll get your thoughts on that. High honour to our Lord. Is there high honour to the Lord? Is it man-centred? Crossover, meaning that it could essentially fit the secular context as well as the saved context because it's so vague. Is it feelings, experience, orientated? Then we think about edification because, after all, that's a big part of Christian music, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Is it spiritually edifying or is it fleshly entertaining or a mix, maybe a mixed message there in between? So I've taken my dad's sheet and modified a bit, tried to introduce some other concepts from our series And also just, you know, simplify things a little bit there. The glory test, next page. Does the performance bring glory to God? Is it spiritual and Christ-centred, or sensual, worldly and artist-centred? Right, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns and what kind of songs? Spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? The Lord. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:31 as well. We're to do all things to the glory of God. So who's getting the glory here? So at the top there, spirit portrayed. Is there a humble spirit? Affected. What do you mean by affected? Well, maybe they're just so affected, you know, just showing that they're just so emotionally impacted by the song, but it's drawing attention to the singer. Showmanship. What would be some examples of showmanship maybe? Dancing all over the stage, microphone up here, hands in the air, many different things there. Is it sensual? Okay, is there a sensual spirit there that comes through maybe by the immodesty of dress or just the very music itself? What kind of worship would you then classify it as? Adoring saint? Someone who's an adoring saint would be a godly singer, someone who's just seeking to reflect the glory of God and put glory to the Lord Jesus. Carnal lover, so is it more that carnal sort of lover feel, or a mixed message again, maybe a bit in between? Vocal techniques. We talked about this in the course, so hopefully you're a little bit equipped to answer some of these. Is there natural resonance? Okay, you hear that maybe in more your classical style music, hopefully, or your sacred hymn singing where it's the natural sound of the voice, hopefully coming through. Or is it breathy? Throaty. Okay, all sounds just coming out of the throat here and moving all over the place, even groaning or vocal fry. Okay. I think there's a bit of vocal fry in one of them tonight. See if you can pick it for me. Pop, rock style, sensual, intimate feel. Okay, so can you see, even if you don't have music training, hopefully you can tick or not tick some of these and get a feel for it. Scooping and sliding. What's scooping again? Thomas? Yeah, not hitting the note. And, well, it might be that you hit the note, but you slide up to the note. Okay, rather than moving in an ordered way through the notes, you slide up, and then they sometimes slide off and down. It's not always up, by the way. Sometimes they scoop up, and then they slide down to the next note. You're down, okay? Makes you dizzy. All right. So, the scooping and sliding, is there none? Or maybe you might say mild. I think it's a little bit in there, but not too much, or it's pronounced, very scoopy. Vocal ornamentation. All right, that's, is it adorned, gaudy, subtle? Okay, so ornamentation, say this carefully, it's probably not all ornamentation is necessarily wrong. I remember Glenn Weeks singing, and he would sometimes hit a note, and it's not supposed to be long, but he would just pause it and draw it out. Well, I remember seeing my dad play the piano for him. And they were actually very well synced. They were so used to each other. Dad would just stop, let him finish, and on that case. So there was a little bit of, I guess, his own personality coming through that, but it was always, I felt, very appropriate. You never felt it wasn't sensual. He might have added an extra note in somewhere, but it was in harmony with the melody. All right, if any of you try and sing like that, well, you'd look really funny, but I've just saying. But we're talking about that excessive ornamentation where really the singer's just, again, it's more of an attention grabber. They're sort of, you know, flying up over above the melody, or they're sort of all over the place, that pop style with their voice to just, you know, draw attention to themselves, so it's more gaudy. So when you think about ornamentation, think about it even as maybe a Christian woman, okay, who's very beautifully dressed, there's nothing wrong with that, maybe with some tasteful jewellery and those sorts of things, as opposed to maybe someone who's very gaudy. Have you seen someone who's gaudy? And it's just, it's overdone, it's way too much, and it's just like, whew, okay. So that's that. Appearance, is it modest? Are they modest, sensual, gender distinct? Aesthetic, meaning beautiful. Body language. All right, is there sensual body movements? I added this section in. It's, for example, dancing or jerking to the music. They call it twerking today, don't they? Some of them. Anyway, hands raised, gestures that draw attention to singer. All right. Intimate with the microphone, hand held close to mouth. Or is it appropriate and befitting a sacred song? So again, hopefully these are fairly simple things that you can identify as we go through. Then think about the edification. Does it edify the spirit or appeal to the flesh? Or again, is it a mixed and confused message where it's like it's a bit of a mix there? Then the separation test. We covered this in our series. Does the song and its composer or composers represent a dangerous bridge for a conservative fundamental church to see some another compromise. Now, this may not become immediately apparent from just listening or watching a song, but it's more just to flag it to you to bring that into your consideration when selecting music. You might like to just check and make sure that they're sacred composers, or maybe more in the classical style of things than in the pop scene or the CCM scene. So we've got some questions there. Do the composers have links to blatant unscriptural errors such as the charismatic movement, the ecumenical movement, world of secular rock and roll, new evangelicalism, or none? Do they have strong ties to the world of CCM, or is their reputation primarily that of a classical slash sacred composer? Yes, no, unclear. Any other potential problems with their philosophy of music? You might like to jot them down there that you observe. And just a note there, knowing just where to draw the line in this area can be a challenge to navigate at times. If in doubt, seek counsel from your pastor or a godly Christian who understands the principles of godly music. So don't be afraid, again, to have a teachable spirit and draw on others that the Spirit of God has provided in the local church body to help you with music. All right, and then we've got any final thoughts or observations. It might just be something else that came clear to you as you filled in the sheet. So with that in mind, I'm going to stream for the public session here. I'm going to stream these first couple that we go through direct from YouTube. My understanding from my research, because we're going to be watching probably most of the song, if I stream it direct from their own YouTube channel, I won't be in breach of copyright, I believe. Okay, just in case someone wants to get me on a technicality there. I'm going to stream it live straight off of their YouTube channel for these first couple, and then that way I'm not downloading something and then showing something that's downloaded, all right? So we'll see how we go as far as the... there might be a couple of delays if it's trying to buffer or something like that, but we'll see how we go. All right, this first one you can write down at the top is called God is for Us. And just to forewarn you, I've basically ordered the clips in such a way that we're going to go from fairly obvious to more subtle, okay? So we start with what hopefully should be pretty obvious. All right, this one will probably blow you away a little bit, all right? But having said that, I haven't selected anything from Hillsong or anything way out there. I've actually selected stuff that is from people who are considered to be conservative in the world of CCM. Now, this first one, you're probably going, is that conservative? They are considered to be more on the conservative end, believe it or not. Today, in the world of CCM, I don't think they look very conservative at all. But you will notice they're not quite as out there as the Hillsong that are really the heavy dancing all over the stage, but it's still very, very fleshy music. So I've done that deliberately because a church like ours is probably most vulnerable to stuff which is not quite out there, not really, really out there, but maybe has a bit of a veneer of conservatism. All right, so we're going to move from fairly the more heavy stuff that should hopefully be pretty clear to some that are more subtle and even straight on the line. And I also have some just what I consider to be good, godly, sacred songs we're going to look at tonight that are edifying. Hopefully you can see the contrast. All right, so you got your pens ready? And we will get started on this. I've pre-filled mine out so that I can guide you through. What we're going to do after this, we're going to have a discussion and just go through the sheet that we filled in and hopefully be able to discern a little bit about this song tonight. So again, I've tried to think very carefully, spent a fair bit of time planning this message to emphasise certain things. Part of the reason why I'm doing this one up front is so hopefully if you haven't learned yet, you can pick the rock beat. If you can learn to pick the rock beat in songs, that'll help you to discern a whole hunk of CCM that's just off and you know is not for your life, okay? So let's write that down. Let's get started. Before us, you will lead the way. We have found. Initial impressions. All right, now I picked them. They're actually a conservative, they are an Anglican group. Excuse me. Hold it there, Christine. So they're not, they are actually considered to be within the world of CCM a more conservative band. Not all their songs are that heavy, but there you go. All right, so let's just have a think through this test together, and hopefully we can discern a few things there. All right, in relation to melody, would you say the song's built on melody, harmony, or rhythm? Anybody? Rhythm, okay. How many of you could discern that? Not just with the drums, but see the electric guitars pounding out that rock rhythm very, very strongly, okay? Did anyone, were any of our musicians here able to discern the meter? What timing? 4-4? Yep. And would you say it was balanced with melody or harmony? Was it muted, balanced, or overpowering? Overpowering, wasn't it? The rhythm's overpowering very much. It's a rhythm-based, rhythm-emphasised song. I'll skip over syncopation there. If rock beat, what pattern? I'm just interested to know what you picked up because I think it's da, is it? First one? Okay, so that's why I picked it because that's one of the most common ones. So it's da, 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 da. All right, very clear. And with the 4-4 timing, hitting those weak beats very strongly. All right, in relation to harmony, it's a bit hard to discern. I was saying to my dad on the phone the other day, some of these CCM songs, you don't even feel like there's a lot of harmony. It's just almost a simple ballad just pounded out with the drum, isn't it? So I'd say it playing, I don't think there's much there. Does it draw attention to itself? Well, it's just hard to answer. There's not much there. Unresolved dissonance, I'm not sure. Sliding chords, not sure. The guitar definitely has some blues elements with the sliding up and down there. Okay, sliding chords. Any other thoughts on the music from anybody? No? Fairly quick. Yes. I was a little bit conflicted too. Sometimes it sounds like da, 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 and then sometimes it sounded like the da, da, da one. But the key thing is, could you pick up that beat coming through very strongly? I want to make sure you don't, okay, the series won't have achieved its job if you can't learn to identify that backbeat coming through, okay? All right, the message test. So considering now the lyrics, would you say the pronunciation was natural, unnatural, or overpowered by the music, or maybe a couple of those? Natural? Yep. Yeah, somewhat natural, okay, but overpowered by the music, wouldn't you say? How many of you even can really remember what this song was about? Sing with Joy Now, something about it. Yep. Kate? You had your hand up? Oh, I thought you were worshipping or something. Yeah, okay. Charisse? God is greater, yeah. Can you just see by way of illustration that when you listen to the song for the first time, what impacts you the most first, the music or the lyrics? The music. Okay, the music is what hits you first. All right. In a good sacred song, there's balance there where hopefully you get the words more. But even in a good sacred song, often we're affected most by the music first. Sometimes you have to hear a song several times before the lyrics really start to penetrate. I find that anyway. All right, so overpowered by the music. Were they in sync with the melody? I think they were. Slightly ahead, yeah. Sometimes slightly ahead. Now, under the scriptural content and substance, let's get you talking with me here. Hands up. What are your thoughts there? Somebody? Average? Tina? Yes, the Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. You probably couldn't say they're unscriptural words, but fairly weak. I even put repetitive. It's fairly repetitive. Average. Generic, yep. What about high honour to the Lord? What have you selected there? Somebody else, volunteer. Hands up. Kyla. Yeah, man-centred. What about someone else? Feelings and experience orientated, I think, definitely. So when it comes to edification, would you say they are spiritually edifying, fleshly entertaining, or a mix? Pretty fleshly entertaining, I'd say, yeah. So can you see how hopefully, I'm hoping that this, it's not that necessarily every time you listen to a piece of music you're going to pull the sheet out, but hopefully it just gets your mind, and you can, maybe it would be helpful for you to do that, but maybe it'll just help to you to start listening to music more discerningly. Okay, now the glory test in relation to the performance. What kind of spirit was portrayed in your view there? Hands up, please. Brother Oxbeer. Showmanship, yeah, showmanship. What kind of worship then would you say? Adoring saint, carnal lover, or maybe a bit of a mix? Who put mix? Raise your hand if you put mix, yeah? Yep. All right. Yeah, it's not like he was completely nightclubbish, but it was pretty, yeah. Vocal improvisation, I just put subtle. What about scooping and sliding? Did you pick up on any of that? Yeah. It wasn't necessarily pronounced, would you say? I don't know. It's sort of in between mild and pronounced. I mean, some of you got some songs that are very scoopy. I don't know. What do you reckon? It's definitely there. Yeah. Appearance. Yeah, pretty sensual. Was there proper gender distinction there across the whole band or not? No, quite a ladies in trousers. Oh, that'll get me in hot water saying that, but... Pardon? Okay, if you thought they were only men, well then probably that's part of the problem. The main singer was a man, so that's probably why. It sounded a little bit like a billy goat the way he was singing, but... All right, body language. What did you find there, anything? Thomas? Yep. Tears? Hand raised? They weren't as out there as maybe some of the Hillsong ones you see, but there was dancing there, wasn't there? And why are they doing that? Because that's what the music's telling them to do, okay? The beat's telling them to do that. They can't stand still as that, okay? Yes, intimate with the microphone, very close to the mouth. So you couldn't say it was befitting a sacred song, would you? No, because it's not a sacred song. So therefore, in summary, edification appeals to the flesh or edifies the spirit. What do you say? It appeals to the flesh. I know it appeals to my flesh. If you get hooked on that kind of music, it's very addictive. Now, on the separation test, this is, again, maybe requires more background research. Do the composers have links to blatant unscriptural errors? I've put new evangelicalism, because that's very much where they are, which is pretty broad nowadays. Probably is going to link you to the world of secular rock and roll. Do they have ties to the world of CCM? Absolutely. They are CCM artists. Any other potential problems? I've written there, they market themselves as conservative. They're not as out there as in performance as Hillsong. And it's some of their music that the guy I graduated with is starting to put on his YouTube channel. Okay. Now, I found out he's no longer an independent Baptist, so that's sad, but... not surprising that he's headed in the wrong direction. That's partly why I picked that band, because these are the kinds of bands that young people in churches like ours are starting to get into, because they're not quite as extreme as Hillsong. Their lyrics, although I agree with you, didn't have a lot of substance, not as weak as maybe a Hillsong piece. Any final thoughts, observations? Hands up. Therese? Oh. Anything else you observed? Okay, so what kind of environment? Did you see the strobe lights? See that? Darkened room. Very strong rock beat. strong rock rhythms coming through the guitar as well. Yep. Yeah, it's not, that's right. This is the thing. In fact, it's very interesting. I've noticed something with my research. I've reviewed a fair bit of stuff over the course of this series. And even looking at people like the Gettys, who are upheld as being the conservative artists, you can actually see a downward trend, I think, in their own music from like 10 years ago to now. And it shows that they themselves, as CCM artists, are on that slippery slope. And you look at some of their earlier pieces, were a lot more tame, and now it's like you can barely tell the difference between their music, maybe, and just mainstream. It's got this very similar sound to just mainstream CCM, the Hillsong feel. Yeah, they may not be quite as radical in some of their performance techniques, but you can see their own music has gone down like that, and now they're, you know, they're just, there's open association with the Gaithers and Chris Tomlin and all these big name CCM artists. No separation there at all. All right, test number two. You ready? So we're going from something more blatant to something now that's probably a little more subtle, but hopefully you can still discern this here. All right, understand the purpose of the exercise. Very popular song, this one. Very popular.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fear comes down, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Or call me.
That's improvisation. Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's have a look at this then together, starting from the top. What would you say the song's built on? Any suggestions? Hands up, Seth. Yeah. So I've ticked both. I've ticked both melody and rhythm. Now, you hear there was some quite beautiful strings came through there at one point. This is what makes the Geddes a little more dangerous. If you've got a taste for good music, or you've been raised with good music, you're probably not going to go to Stryper heavy metal band straight away. But if you hear music that maybe does have some nice melody, this is what makes their music appealing, is it's a dangerous concoction, it's a mix. All right, so they don't, it's not just all crash bang. There is a melody line there very discernibly, which makes it so popular. And it can be sang more as a hymn. But as you can see, that is the real Geddes there. Okay, that's where their hearts are. That's the kind of music. Mitha, I've got a question mark here. I think I know which one it is, but is anyone able to pick that up?
Three, four.
Three, four? Phew, that's what I had. Okay. No, you can't. That's true. Yep. With the rhythm, what would you say? Was it balance? Was there balance with melody and harmony? Past 10? Not all the time. So see how that it started off without a heavy rhythm, but it builds up, and then wham, they hit you with the drums. Okay, they can't help. They've got to have that beat in there, don't they? It's so addictive. Syncopation, anyone? You heard some? Yep. What rock beat? That was a bit hard, wasn't it? It jumped around a bit, but I think tell me what you think you've got there. Yep. That's what I had too, yep. So da-da-da, da-da-da, okay. All right, in relation to harmony, did it beautify the melody? I've put fair. Yep, Kate? Which other one? Okay. Yeah, so it shows that sometimes it's not necessarily a consistent rock beat in there, but all with the rock beat, it emphasises weak beats, which is, okay, which is autonomous to the melody, all right? Any unresolved, did it draw attention to itself, the harmony? I said no, I couldn't detect anything there. Unresolved dissonance, I just put undetected, I couldn't detect anything there. Sliding chords, undetected. I couldn't detect any jazz or blues elements particularly. Did so, you? Bit of jazz? Okay. Bit of blues there, Mr. Ringwald? Yep, okay. All right, good. The message test. How were the lyrics pronounced, do you think? Hands up. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a mix, wasn't it? Unnatural, natural. It was overpowered by the music probably towards the end, wasn't it? More so than the beginning. Were they in sync with the melody? Melody? Do you think they were? Yep. Now, this is an interesting one. Try and just think about it on terms of its merits, just the actual words themselves. What would you say of scriptural content and substance? They're actually pretty good. In Christ, this is what again makes the Geddes so appealing with some of their music, is they market themselves as hymn writers, right? And some of their songs do have more substance than others. So I don't think you could say that they were unscriptural lyrics. I think there were definitely some, you wouldn't say it was repetitive like the typical charismatic song, right? But remember what I said at the beginning, we want consistency of message from the music, the lyrics and the performer, okay? So you might have good, strong lyrics, but if you've got a rock beat, just dispense with it, okay? Because it's going to harm you in your Christian life because it's a mixed message there. What would you say as far as high honour to the Lord? What did you tick there? Suggestions, Mr. Ringwald?
I've heard that it was a crossover because...
Yes. Yes. Yeah, good observation. So I actually wrote the same thing. I said mixed message there. I just wrote that in. Yeah. Mrs. Weston, yes. Yep. Yeah. So she wasn't sort of all over the place, but she was fairly, you know, it was very fairly performance. Yeah. So what would you say edification wise? Would you say spiritually edifying, fleshly entertaining, or a mixed message? Mixed, isn't it? Okay. So you, if it's mixed, then just steer clear of it. Get something that's got a clear message. The glory test, spirit portrayed, what would you say there? Hands up, please. Julie, what have you got? Affected showmanship. I would say even a little bit sensual, okay? Not that she was grossly immodest, but there's something about that kind of performance and that kind of music that creates a sensual atmosphere, I believe, particularly when the drum beat gets in there. Mr. Ringwald, you had something to say? The mood. Yeah, that's right. Good observation. What kind of worship then would you say? Adoring saint, carnal lover, or a mix? Mixed. Yeah, probably more carnal, yep. Vocal techniques, she's got a whole, I've got just about everything ticked here. What did you find? Yeah, I heard, do you hear a bit of that gravelly bit here or there, where it's sort of that, I just can't replicate vocal fry, so fry an egg when you get home instead, okay? What have you got, Sister Nat, down the back there? We don't. For the vocal techniques, did you pick up on anything there? Yeah, absolutely. Fairly throaty, I've ticked. Pop rock style, definitely. All right, scooping and sliding. What did you select for that one, Paul Tweedy? Pronounce. Very scoopy, isn't she? And then the ornamentation. Here in the love of Christ I live. You know, I can't bring myself to try and actually do it properly, but... what would you say there? I put gaudy. All right, she's fairly gaudy. She's just, again, that real... What it highlights is that some of these... They know what they're doing. They're professional singers, and she's employing a whole suite of techniques there to make the music extremely impacting. She's obviously been taught these different techniques, or she's picked them up. Appearance, what would you say there? Hands up. Mary. Yeah, she's overly... As a general... a statement should be modest. What about gender distinct? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little sensual? I don't know. Maybe just, I suppose, the overall feel was sensual. Yeah, shoes pretty sensual, my wife said. So, yeah, there you go. But, yes, and again, that's what makes them fairly, she'd maybe dress as a little more conservative. So, again, it's a bit of a dangerous mix, isn't it? Because you can see why they're a bridge to the whole world of CCM, because it's probably likely you're going to get into that type of artist initially. And there's churches all over the place using the Geddes music, but it usually doesn't stop there. Body language. What have you got there? All the kids are there. Sarah? Hands raised. Okay, again, not there, yeah, but there. Nathaniel? Yep, intimate with the microphone. She wasn't really dancing, though, was she? She's moving around a bit, but you couldn't say she was dancing. Pardon? Bopping brunette, yeah. We'll see another one of hers later, anyway. Edification, then. Did you find it edified the spirit or appealed to more the fleshly appetites? Mr. Curry, what have you got there? Yep. And, yeah, that's right. All right, separation tests. Do the composer have links to blatant unscriptural errors? Hopefully you know how to answer this from the course. What links do they have? We went through this in detail about the Geddes. Christine Nicolai, what have you got there? New evangelicalism. What else? Ecumenical movement, absolutely. Charismatic movement, even though they themselves don't claim to be charismatic. Yeah, they're quite condoning of secular rock music as well, so they're a bridge to those things. Any potential problems with their other potential problems? Oh, sorry, do they have strong ties to the world of CCM? Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, okay. Any final thoughts, observations? Hands up. Yes. Yeah, as I understand it, Keith Getty's stated aim, along with their close partner Stuart Townsend is to be a bridge between the conservative and the contemporary. Right, so they're trying to bridge that gap, but that's a dangerous gap to be bridged. We don't want to go from traditional to contemporary, do we? All right, third sheet. We're going to listen to a good one. Amen. Actually, this one's no good. All right. So fill this one out. Hopefully this will be a nice contrast. Then we will have a word of prayer and close our service. We'll have a bite to eat and we'll continue after this back in the youth hall off camera with a few more songs to analyse. Okay, so we'll see how many we get through. We won't stay here all night. But I think it's a good opportunity just to tease this out a bit. So here's one from Fairhaven Baptist College. The cinematography or videography, however you say it, is very professional. That's not wrong in itself. Watch it and see what you think. I'll give you my thoughts after the song. There's a little bit of a story at the beginning here. Which
the hymn, Here is Love, is mostly unfamiliar to modern congregations. It was written around 1860 and put to music about 1879. In 1904 and 1905, the Holy Spirit sent a revival to the nation of Wales that, as far as we know, is the greatest revival of the 20th century. It was a revival that saw more than 100,000 souls saved, and it really changed the entire culture of the nation of Wales. As the revival swept through Wales, this song, although written 30 years previously, became the most sung of the revival, and eventually became known as the Love Song of the Welsh Revival. As you listen to this hymn, I hope you see that the majority of the words are not about us or our experience, but are entirely focused on Jesus' love for us and what He has done for us. Here is love, vast as the ocean.
Perfect justice.
right, let's run through this then. And from the music test, what's the song built on? Melody, definitely, isn't it? What meter? 3/4. It's balanced, isn't it? Absolutely. Syncopation, none detected. Any rock beat? None. All right, harmony, does it beautify the melody? Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Does it draw attention to itself in an unwholesome way? No. Any unresolved dissonance? None. Sliding chords? None. Any jazz or blues elements? None. Okay. Message test, how would you say the lyrics were pronounced? Natural, absolutely. Good resonance there. Synchronised with the melody, in sync? Absolutely. Scriptural content and substance, what have you got there? Strong, strong. High honour to the Lord, I've got high. Okay. Edification, spiritually edifying. Spirit portrayed in the performance now, what would you say? I'd say humble. Yeah, I didn't detect that showmanship there. Let me just say this. I don't think there's anything wrong per se with a professionally produced music video, something I've thought through of late. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. It's how it's done, okay? So we should strive for excellence in all that we do. You can't take the... it's like when the choir sings. You can't separate, in a sense, the man and the message. So you can't make the singers invisible. Right? They're going to be there, and through their life, hopefully communicate something consistent with the message. So it's not wrong to have the singers on camera, per se. That there was no jerking, no hand movements, no, you know, sort of closing the eyes or anything really there that I could see. If you're going to be highly critical, they isolated some of the singers at the end there and had them singing by themselves. But again, I don't think that was really, I didn't feel that was overdone. I thought it was good. Vocal technique, so what kind of worship would you say? Adoring saint, a humble spirit. Vocal techniques. Natural resonance, good resonance there. There's nothing breathy, throaty, or pop style. Any scooby and sliding? None. Vocal ornamentation? None. Appearance? Modest. Gender distinct? Aesthetic? Yep. Body language, what would you select there? Appropriate, befitting a sacred song. Therefore, edification, what did you find? Edifies the spirit. Okay, separation. Do the composer have links to blatant unscriptural errors? None. Definitely no strong ties to the world of CCM. As far as I'm aware, they're very much a sister church in their philosophy, very strong on music and other items of separation. So there's nothing I'm aware of there. Any final thoughts, observations, Dan? See how the message of the words came through very clearly, didn't they, in that song? There's a good balance, beautiful piano playing. And again, not wrong to have a beautiful orchestra that upholds the singing. They didn't have orchestra there. But you see that with a sacred song is the message of the words is getting through to you as well, and as well as the music. Any final thoughts, observations? To be highly critical, it's just my opinion. I didn't particularly like the image of Christ's hand with the nail. I just didn't think it looked very nice, but that's a preference matter. Not necessarily anything that you could say is right or wrong. I just didn't particularly like it. But it's just my opinion. Yep. Dan? I think if you're going to put together a music video, you'd have to just be very careful. It'd be very easy to drift in that direction. And I think that's what we're seeing with even some conservative music producers, is it's getting too much emphasis on the artist. I didn't feel like that was the case there, but it could easily drift that way because it's hard. I mean, you're up against the digital world today with all the high-powered cameras and everything like that. But if you're producing sacred music, you have to not worry about that and just honour the Lord first and trust him with how many views you get on YouTube. Yes?
I thought the harmony was very distinct, but it never crossed over to dominate.
Yes.
Over the melodies.
Yes. Good. Yeah, I agree with that. Yes, Brother Rhys. Yes. Yes. Very good, very good. You see the introduction? He talked, gave a quick snapshot of the background of the hymn. That was impacting, wasn't it? Okay, very, very good. Yeah, good to know. Yes, that's partly why I picked that one. No, not really, but do you know how to sing it in Welsh? Do you know that, how to sing it in Welsh? Yeah. We don't speak in tongues here, brother, so we'll just put that on hold. But yes. Yeah, amen. Isaac? I think it's okay, yeah. It's like we have the choir sing on the stage here. It's, again, the singers can't be made invisible. Right? If you're going to have a ministry in song, then the singers are going to be there. It depends if the singers are making, you know, unnecessarily drawing attention to themselves, yeah. So I think that's a good example of a good sacred song, personally. Okay, very good. All right, let's pray, and we will pause. If you do have to go home, then I'll forgive you. But I hope you'll stay for a bit more, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. And thank you that your love is vast as the ocean. And we thank you that grace and love, like mighty rivers, did flow down from the cross for our salvation. We thank you for that. Bless us now. Bless our time of fellowship together. And as we consider these things a little bit further, amen.